This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Let's talk about the system itself and how this was even allowed to take place. We know that Dee Dee did a lot of doctor shopping, went around, and long as the doctors were agreeing with her narrative of what was wrong with her daughter, Gypsy, she stayed with them until red flags were brought up, and then it was moving on to someone else. It's a huge stack of papers. It's like a massive book, probably thousands of papers of record of how this went on. And I guess that's the easy way of explaining it, of saying, well, this is how she did it. She kept doctor shopping. But logistically, as a medical professional, when you're being, this is being brought to you, and we're talking more than just, this is how she feels, let's give her some medicine. There was invasive surgeries done. There was feeding tubes being put in. I guess the question is, how did Dee Dee get that far with the medical community saying, yeah, let's put a feeding tube in your daughter without other ailments going on that were medically provable?
Yeah, she had to be doing a very good job. And again, if she's feeding her poison, that could create all kinds of weird symptoms that might look like a disease to a doctor. Mm-hmm. And doctors don't always go in. Well, in fact, I'd say they generally don't go in with the expectation that a parent is doing things causing these symptoms. So it may not be looked at very closely, especially if it's a brand new doctor. They tend to take parents at their word. And of course, this brings up the recent Maya Kowalski trial, mm-hmm. where the hospital did red flag this case because it had all the hallmarks, at least looking at it superficially, of a Munchausen by proxy symptom kind of situation. And we know what that ended up like. I was speaking with a friend who's an anesthesiologist and works in pain medicine yesterday. And she said, since that judgment against Johns Hopkins, doctors are going to be terrified. And even when they suspect something, they're going to be very hesitant about making a report. And I agree with her, that's terrible, because we need to be able to make reports when we think something could be going on. But again, doctors can be hesitant with, well, what if I'm wrong? I'm very likely wrong. This lady seems very nice and very convincing, and the child does have all these symptoms. So it's really this big gray area, and it's very hard to sort through it, I think, for the doctors too.
The way that we've heard Munchausen by proxy be described is very often, it's very rare, very uncommon for this to be out there. Is that true, though? Or is this something that just really hasn't been diagnosed as readily, you know, maybe as it should have been, or recognized as it should have been in the past?
I think it's probably underdiagnosed. I think we are probably more apt to diagnose it when it's a more extreme case. But there are probably a lot of more subtle cases, maybe where the parent is not doing much damage to the child, but it's more amplifying symptoms, and maybe in a very mild case, you know, doing things that make them look like they have a temperature when they really don't have a temperature, trying to warm them up or something like that. Because they're getting attention. So I certainly see people who, in my practice, who are attention seeking, but they typically are amplifying their own medical problems, you know, with things mm-hmm. that can't really be proven or disproven. And a lot of people are very needy in that way. They tend to be the histrionic personality types of people, not the, you know, the out and out psychopaths who we think is, you know, having no empathy for other people and being very cold and capable of doing monstrous things. But it's more this bizarre neediness and this tendency to always have to be in the spotlight that I think makes these more extreme cases how we can spot them.
What does that stem from for someone like a Dee Dee Blanchard? Is that something that just, you know, it happens? It's a brain chemical thing, or is this more of a conditioning and a product of Dee Dee's own upbringing, childhood, and experience?
Yeah, you know, we don't know what the formula is exactly. We know that we're all a mix of 50% genetics and 50% environment. So you can guess that there are some problems that she came into the world with, and then probably had a very suboptimal upbringing where she never felt competent. She never gained skills in the real world. She was given attention herself, possibly only when she was sick. And maybe the sicker she became, the more attention she got. So So somebody has grown up with a very, very warped identity, and we can certainly say probably not in an ideal environment.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.